With me to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. The entire purpose this church stands here this evening is to point people to that cross. Amen. It's to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to show people that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by Him. The most important thing that you could ever do with your life, with the breath that God gives you, is tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And a lot of the reason that churches are in the shape that they're in today is because the salt has seemed to have lost its savor. Amen? The gospel light and the witness of Christians continues to grow dimmer and dimmer and dimmer with each and every passing day, and God is looking for people who desire to tell of His glory. The Bible tells us many and many a times, the Bible says, if your light be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Amen? The Bible said, so let your work shine before men. Amen? The Bible tells us many and many a times that we are called to be witnesses for the glory of God. In Luke chapter number 10, He sent His disciples out to go and knock on doors, and He told them, He said, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. He speaks of the great harvest, the many people that need to come to Christ, and He says, set your eyes to the fields, for they are widened to harvest already. Amen. And God tells us that there's a job for us. He gives us that great commission. He said, go forth into all nations, preaching. He said, teaching, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatso things I have commanded. And too many times, we save up all our religion for Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. Amen. We can it up, we case it up, we tuck it away in our pocket when we go to work. We hide it away, or we leave it at home when we go out into public, and God is looking for people who are going to be bold in witness for the glory of God. And in John chapter number 5 in the Scriptures, Jesus is speaking and Jesus is teaching His disciples, and He begins to speak about the witness of Himself to the world. Many a people, many a Bible commentators would look at this fifth chapter of John, and they would identify this passage of Scripture that we're going to read tonight as the fourfold witness of Christ. See, the Bible tells us in the eighth chapter of the book of John, it is also written in your law that in the testimony of two men is true. And the Lord was referencing back to Numbers chapter number 35 and Deuteronomy chapter number 17, where it says that in the mouth of more than one witness, a truth is established. So Jesus, in this fifth chapter of the book of John, we find that He begins to talk about His witness, and He begins to talk about the fourfold witness of Christ to the Gentiles. I want to begin reading in John chapter number 5 and verse number 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath it in Himself, so hath He given unto the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. It shall come forth, and that they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear. These are the words of Jesus speaking. He's speaking in accordance with the Scripture, because He's saying, hey, you don't have to believe what I'm saying just because I said it. Now, you and I understand through the eye of faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that every word He speaks is truth, and that we don't ever have to doubt what we read from the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus, He says, according to your law, according to your Bible, as He referenced in the eighth chapter of the book of John, He said, it's written in your law that in the mouth of two witnesses the truth shall be established. And so the Lord Jesus, He continues on in this passage of Scripture and speaks of these witnesses. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, and speaking of John the Baptist. But I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works of which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accurse you to the Father. There is one that accurseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And Jesus is preaching in this passage of Scripture. Jesus is exhorting his disciples. He's encouraging his disciples. He's preaching to those that are lost. I'm sure that there are people within earshot of these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're hearing these words and they're beginning to understand. Their hearts are beginning to be turned from the wickedness and the darkness of that sin nature, and they're coming to the saving knowledge that this man, this Jesus himself, is Lord. Jesus is encouraging those who are around him to be witnesses for his glory. And with the help of the Lord tonight, I'd like to preach on this thought: can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for Crossroads Baptist Church and everybody you brought here tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just get me out of the way. Speak through me, Lord. Help me to preach with power and with love and with a sound mind. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you're going to do in the hearts and in the minds of individuals. Lord, we love you tonight, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love this passage of Scripture. I've read it through all my commentaries and all my study Bibles, and I've read as much as I can on this certain chapter right here, this fifth chapter of John, because it's interesting to me that Jesus would tell of the witness of himself. He makes that statement. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But he speaks of the other things that bear witness, the other things that point people to the cross, the other things that they can observe through the Scriptures and through the testimony of those who are faithful to teach and to preach the gospel that might point people to him. And the first thing that I'd like to notice in this passage of Scripture that Jesus speaks of is the preaching witness. The preaching witness, right there in verse number 33, and he's speaking of John the Baptist, and he says this: ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Jesus tells of this life and this testimony of John the Baptist. In the same gospel, Jesus will say these words. He said, there was not a greater man born of a woman than John the Baptist. And John, he's speaking of this witness Jesus is speaking of this witness that he had of John in chapter number 5 of this gospel. And what we find is that he says he was a burning light. Amen. He said, you rejoiced in it. You rejoiced in that light for a season, he said. And what we need are more people who are willing to preach and to proclaim the gospel. Amen? And as I call this the preaching witness, I want to clear something up. I want us to understand this here tonight. You don't have to be a preacher to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen? You don't have to be a preacher to witness. The people who are called to preach aren't the only people who are called to knock on doors. Amen? We see many of people throughout the Bible. It was through the faithful testimony of a grandmother and a mother that Timothy came to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was called to go out and pastor churches and do great things for the glory of God. It's because of the faithfulness of the women of his family that testimony was carried on. We see this preaching witness. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Amen. Many a times I wonder to myself why I don't seem to have a vision, why I don't seem to have direction, and I'm reminded in the Scriptures and in the Old Testament, the Bible tells me that if I'll acknowledge God, if I'll acknowledge Him in all my ways, that He shall direct my paths. Now I'll ask you this here tonight, church. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When's the last time you flat out took the opportunity to present the gospel to someone in hopes that they might be saved? We need more people who are going to be bold for the witness and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the preaching witness. Many a times we quote the Scripture in the book of Romans in chapter number 10. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But we fail to mention the latter parts that follow. How then shall they hear on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now I understand in here tonight, not every man in here is called to preach the gospel. God gives different gifts to different people. He calls different people to different things. We understand that. But man or woman, young or old, no matter what your situation is in here tonight, we're all called to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. We see in this passage of Scripture the preaching witness. Not only do we see the preaching witness, but in verse number 36, I'd like us to see what the Lord Jesus says. He says, "But I have greater witness than that of John." That's interesting to me, Brother Larry, that he would say that he would make that phrase. He says, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me." Not only in this passage of Scripture do we see the preaching witness, but we see the practicing witness. The practicing witness. Amen? Jesus said, okay, I want you to think about John for just a minute. We just quoted from the Lord Jesus how he said that there was not another man born of woman who was greater than John the Baptist. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that same Jesus said that there is a greater witness than John the Baptist. All that ministry, all that work that John did, he said there's a greater witness than that. And he said, it's the works which the Father hath given me to do. The good works of God. Amen. My witness is going to be of no avail. My preaching is going to be of no avail if I don't live what I preach in this pulpit outside of these doors. Amen? We need to be a practicing witness. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 5, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." John chapter number 5. "But I have a greater witness than that of John." Amen? He mentions it right here. "The works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." James chapter number 2. "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." He said, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." That same book tells us that faith without works is dead. Amen. I don't want a dead faith. I don't want to present God. I don't want to lay something upon the altar of sacrifice that's going to burn up one day as wood, hay, and stubble. I want something with substance. I want something that's real. I want something that helps me when I'm not in the church house. Amen. When I'm in my car and I'm driving it alone, or when I'm back in the house and I'm by myself, I want something that sticks. Amen. I want to be a practicing witness. Peter exhorts Christians. He tells them, he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, That may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." And let me tell you something, friend. If you're in here and you're saved by the grace of God and you're wanting to do something for God, you better believe that everybody's going to have a problem with what you're doing. The devil has a bullseye this big on your back, and he's going to send everybody he can, and all the devils and minions of hell are going to be on your back, and they're going to be trying to stop you. I remember when I first got right with God, I was waiting tables at a barbecue restaurant, and man, it seemed like everybody wanted to just try and mess with me. They wanted to try to make me angry. They wanted to try and make me upset. They were just trying to trip me up because they wanted to see if what I had was real. Amen. They wanted to see if it was superficial or if it went to the heart. Amen. If God gives you something real, you're going to be that practicing witness. Amen. You're not just going to have a profession of faith, but you're going to have works to follow. The Bible says, "Ye shall know a tree by its fruit." Amen. Many a time I've heard my pastor say, he said, "I'm not judging you. I'm just a fruit inspector." Amen. I'm just a fruit inspector. And you wonder, some people, they say they get saved. They say they got born again. They say all these things happen, but nothing ever follows. There's no desire to ever want to do anything. I'll tell you, Brother Tommy Aparicio has been saved about 8 days today. Amen. And he told me, he said, "What time do I got to be ready tomorrow to go to the nursing home?" Amen. You know why? Because it's something that's real. Amen. It's something that really happened in his heart. And God, the Holy Ghost, is bearing witness of those good works. He's saying, "I want you to serve. I want you to do something." Amen. Even if it's just being there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We see the practicing witness. God calls us to be like Christ. And the more people see you outside of these walls, and they see that you're living, amen, that you're living it. Not just that you preach it to them, but that you're living it. Amen? Christ said that's a greater witness than all the preaching of John is if you just do the works of your Father. Amen? I'm glad that God's given a will to each and every single person in this sanctuary tonight. God has a will for our lives. Amen? That will for our lives, I know, generally speaking, that is to live holy and separated and sanctified unto Him. You can't go out and live carnal and worldly and expect to have your gospel witness to be of any use to God. Amen? We need to be a practicing witness. Not only do I see the preaching witness and the practicing witness, I see, this is what we're going to call the paternal witness. The paternal witness. You say, "Preacher, where are you going with this?" I'm glad you asked. Verse number 37. Jesus is speaking. He says, "And the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you, whom he hath not sent. Ye believe not." Amen. And Jesus mentions to a certain set of people, he says, you haven't heard his voice, okay? But he's saying, he bears witness of me. And I believe that the people that he was speaking to generally in that place, perhaps they had heard that story of John's baptism. Perhaps they had heard of how that Jesus straightway coming out of the waters, the Bible says that the heavens were opened, the voice of God the Father said, "Behold," or he said, "Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration, that same voice was heard by Peter, James, and John. He said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." And you might be racking your brain right now thinking, "Preacher, how in the world does that relate to me? How in the world could I have any kind of witness like that witness of God the Father?" As far as those people know that heard that voice, the only thing they'd ever heard from the mouth of God the Father is that He was well pleased with His Son. Amen? You know what that world ought to see when they look at you and they see your relationship with Christ? They ought to see that you are well pleased with God the Son. They ought to see, amen. I heard somebody was criticized the other day on the internet. They just put out a simple thing on a Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and he said, "Jesus is enough." And immediately he was criticized. They said, "What does this even mean? What does this even say?" And Christians were quick to have his back, and they said, "That means that He'll sustain you. That means that He'll uphold you. That means that He'll help you. That means that He'll be there with you. That means that He'll walk by your side every step of the way." Amen. I'm glad that I can testify tonight. If there's nothing else you hear in here tonight, I want you to hear this. Jesus Christ has never let me down. Jesus Christ has never come up short. Jesus Christ has never come back on a promise or gone back on His word. We have a faithful God in heaven. When so many times the world looks at Christians, they say, woe is me. Everything's so hard. Everything's so terrible. And the world looks at us and says, well, if that's what they got, I don't want any part of it. My friend, if we fix our affections on things above and not things below, God will speak a peace and a joy and a happiness to our soul that no trial or tribulation on this world could hold back. The paternal witness of Jesus Christ, God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. My friend, if there is anything in here tonight that has made me happy, that keeps me singing, amen, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which He testifieth of His Son. The paternal witness. And last but not least, I'll finish with this and I'll let you go. There's another witness remaining. Verse number 39, and I believe that perhaps many a times this is the most ignored witness of them all. And that is the perfect witness. The perfect witness. Verse number 39. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You and I have today, this very moment, this very second, the perfect witness of God Almighty sitting in our lap right there. Amen. My preacher said this week, he said, the Bible's the only book on this earth that didn't come from this earth. Amen. That is a supernatural book that sits on your lap. Listen to me. When the Bible says that every word, amen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, I believe that first word of that verse. I believe where it says all, amen. There is not one jot nor one tittle out of place. The Bible says in the 12th Psalm, it says the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And if you studied metallurgy or anything like that, you know those old blacksmiths, when they would take that silver or that gold, what they would do is they would put it through that furnace, and when they draw it out and it'd be scorching hot, it'd be orange hot, they'd wait for the glow of the orange of the hot metal to die down, and across the top of that silver they'd have what's called dross. And what that was, that's all the imperfections boiling out of that silver. And he would take something very carefully so as not to skim any silver off the top, but he would take as much of that dross off as he could. But when that silver cooled down, he knew that he'd have to put it in that furnace again. And the more times he put that silver through that furnace, the purer it came out. The Bible tells us that this word is as silver put through a furnace seven times. Amen. There's not one contradiction. There's not one problem. There's not one thing wrong with that book. And if anybody ever tells you that they need to correct that book, you better run. Many theologians, many high-minded people in this society, in this day, in this age in which we live, would say, well, it could have better been translated this way. Or, well, it should have said that. Amen? My friend, I believe that this book that we have tonight is perfect. The perfect witness of God. On the road to Emmaus, and two were leaving after the feast, and they had seen the Lord Jesus crucified, and they were speaking of Him, and the Lord Jesus appeared to them, and He met with them, and He walked with them. And He questioned them. He said, you fools. He said, must not Christ have suffered these things to ascend to the Father? Amen. And He began to talk about it. He started in Moses. He went all the way through the prophets. So I imagine He went all the way up to the preaching of John the Baptist in the wilderness. And He began to expound all of those Scriptures and how they pointed those people to Jesus. Amen. Every page of that book is going to point you to Jesus Christ. Amen. And many times, there will be times that in your flesh, your earthly witness will fail you. Amen. There's going to be many times that in this flesh we're too full of ourselves and we're too full of sin and we're too clogged up with the world that we don't always yield to the Spirit of God. But when we go to that book, amen, it's got every answer we'll ever need. Everything that God ever wanted for you and I to know is contained between the pages of that book. I see a Bible that looks like it's ragged and falling apart. It makes me happy. Charles Spurgeon said the person who owns a Bible that's falling apart usually means their life isn't. Amen? A man wrote a poem once. He said, "This tattered old book that I hold in my hand has done more than good. It has helped me to stand. When its pages are written, God's plan for our lives, by His Spirit given for our very eyes. Although we may doubt, although we may fear, His words show the route to a land of no tears. And to a world that is lost, please lend it your ear, for it tells of a cross that draws every man near." This book right here, from beginning to end, is about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Our life, our substance, our hearts, our minds, our everything ought to be focused. It ought to be a focused effort with every day that we live to be a witness for the glory of God. God's looking for a witness tonight. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Now, if you're in here tonight and you're anything like me, there's times that maybe you don't always take the opportunity to witness like you should. Maybe there's times that you come up short. Maybe there's times that you don't have the words to say. Maybe there's times that your words might fail you. Maybe there's times that you chicken out, that your pride gets in the way, and you don't want to offend somebody. You don't want to hurt somebody. You don't want to rub somebody the wrong way. And God works on your heart and tells you to be that witness. And we back down. God, help us tonight. I invite you to come to the altar and pray and get a hold of God. If I wasn't in the pulpit giving the invitation tonight, I'd be on my face on that altar, because I know that I could be a better witness for the glory of God. There's not one aspect of my Christian life that I believe, you know what, I really got that nailed down. There's not one thing in my life that I could not better for the glory of God. I want to be a witness for Him tonight. There might be one in here tonight that'll say, "Preacher, if I'm being honest tonight, I'm not even sure if I know the Lord. I'm not even sure that I really have this thing of salvation down. And I'm not sure that if I were to die tonight that heaven would be my home." I'd hate for anyone to leave in here tonight. We've been exhorted to be witnesses, but there might be some in here tonight that aren't even sure they're saved. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, would you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. There's nobody looking around but me. Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know that if I died, heaven would be my home." Would there be one in here tonight that would raise their hand and say, "Preacher, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I know that I've been saved by the grace of God, and I want God to help me to be a better witness." Would you raise your hand? All over the house tonight. Now, you guys got your heads bowed and your eyes closed, but I have my hand up too. I need to be a better witness. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." I tell you, what would be real good is if some of us would just purpose in our heart that tomorrow we're going to tell someone about Jesus. We're going to tell someone.